across this case of the brother and the sister.
Yes.
The great
prophecy. Yes.
Now I looked up the case. I mean, it's a very famous case. It took place in the 60s.
Huh?
And I think I will digress to tell you about this case because it really does demonstrate the divide between Haredi interpretation of Jewish law and what Zionist religious people want to do or try to do, sometimes successfully, sometimes not so successfully. It's a very important case that was, and very controversial. You'll see why it was so controversial, because I'll do this case with you, and then I'll come back to the question that I was doing last week. Because last week we were doing the question about the Gett, and various instances where Rabbi Eliashiv refused to force a husband to give a get, and it gives you an insight into this law that states that you can't force a man to give a get, and this obviously causes great difficulty sometimes, but the law is very well established that marriage and divorce can only be done by consent in Jewish law. But this case is a different case. It's a completely different case, you see. So this is, I've photocopied the article. So I'll digress this lesson to because it was mentioned in last week's reading.
Oh, yes.
It was really a notorious case where you're right? No. I knew about this, but it created such terrible bitterness, and you'll see, tremendous bitterness. That's why I knew it, but I didn't know the details, as I told you yesterday, last week, but I looked it up now, and it's quite clear what happened. In any event, I was saying that if man has a way out, if his wife is insane and she can't agree to receive a get, there is a mechanism which is called Heter Mea Rabbanim. So 100 rabbis, I think I mentioned last week, 100 rabbis can be convened or written to, and they can give their consent. It used to be very hard to write to 100 rabbis. It's much easier today with emails. It's not a problem. So people do it. Some people have to do it. Either their wife deliberately or rather wickedly doesn't want to receive the get, or if she is not able to because of illness. With men it's more complicated because it's not allowed for a woman to have two husbands according to the law of the Torah. That's the problem.
So
the law
man could have had
a man can have more than one wife.
A woman can only have one husband.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what some people so liberal. So right, that's what some women who are angry with Jewish law and angry with Judaism, and they are more they're engaged in these campaigns. So they say that's unequal, and they're right. There is no equality here. But our religion comes from ancient times, and some things are not completely right in our eyes. But our eyes don't invent the religion. We don't make up the religion. That's my argument. We can't make up the religion. If people want to make up a religion for themselves, it won't be a true religion. It will be something they made up for themselves. So that's not for me personally. I understand. Obviously, it's not completely fair. I think it's better if we don't get involved in these unusual situations. But what can you do? Life brings up a lot of... There are sacrifices to be made when you're religious, and this is one of them, that you give up the right to change what you don't like, and you accept, but sometimes it's very hard. You'll see in this case was real tragedy. You'll see what happened. Psakat Ach Ve'achot Hu Psakdin. Now there are, I tried very hard to eliminate this red. You see, on the internet it comes in red. I tell you what is in red. If you can click on it for further information, it comes in red. And the red doesn't photocopy very well. And I tried to make it more bold, but it didn't really succeed. So you haven't got the words that are in red in my copy, where it's faint even in my copy. So Psak Adin Vachot Psak Din Shepasak Beit Din Rabbani Miyuchad Berashut Rav Shlomo Goren. So the famous Psak Din, the famous decision, Psak is a decision of Beit Din, it's called Psak. And if Sok is to rule, it's to make a decision, it is to cut across an issue and to decide. And this was a special Beit Din convened by Rav Goren. Rav Goren was a Zionist rabbi. He became very famous because he was very strong-minded man. He was, some people would call him arrogant, but he was a very great scholar as well. He was the chief rabbi of the IDF for many years. And he
1960, he was at the wall, wasn't he?
Yes, he's the one who blew the shofar, the kotel. Yeah, yeah. He ran in front of the army. He was a very courageous man and extraordinarily strong. So, you know, like strong people, like other strong people, he was very controversial throughout his life. And actually, they never forgave him, the Haredim, for this. But he convened, you'll see, the he convened a special Beit Din, a special court made of at least 10 rabbis. And it happened in Tavshin Lamed Gimel. Rav Shlomo Goren was initially for many years the chief rabbi of the IDF, of the army, and he is responsible for the fact that you can go anywhere in the army and there's kosher food, there's sukkah during Sukkot, there's matzot during the basis. His influence, because a large section of the army is not at all religious. I mean, take my stepson, who is in the army now, and he's very frum, but he is just virtually the only one who is frum in his division.
Really?
Where he is.
Yeah.
He's in Gaza somewhere, near Gaza, and he was in the Golan until recently, and there's very few. They didn't even fast in Yom Kippur, many of them. Yeah, didn't fast. They're secular Israelis. And one or two did fast, but they watched television the whole day. So that's the sort of thing. But there are provisions.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't have a minion even on Yom Kippur. Didn't have a minion, but they wouldn't let him off. So he wasn't very happy. Obviously, he's a very frum boy.
Yeah.
So there were only two of them who fasted and went to shul somewhere in the kibbutz, but only in the evening they couldn't get in the morning they let them. But he had a sukkah. They built a sukkah there.
Yeah.
Because the army builds a sukkah for those who want. That's what I want to say.
Yeah, yeah.
Despite the fact that hardly anybody is religious, there's a sukkah.
Yeah.
And actually he told me, Benji told me that he had a very nice sukkot there, because on sukkot they all came in and they ate in the sukkah and they celebrated and so on. Anyway, now he is responsible for that. Anyway, well, this was in 1972. It's in red, I don't know if you can see. Kislev Tavshin Lamed Gimel. So it's exactly 40 years ago. 19th of November, what's the date today? It's not November yet. It's interesting. It's exactly 40 years ago. Psak Adin Tiher et Achim Chanoch and Miriam Lange Mechashad Lememzerut. So what happened was, the controversy was about the status of these two brothers, Chanoch and Miriam. It's a girl. It's a brother and sister. Ach ve'achot. They were suspected of being mamzerim. Mamzerim, unfortunately, it's no fault of their own, but they're not allowed to get married in Jewish law, because they are children of an adulterous union.
Yeah.
It's very tragic when it happens, real, real tragedy. וסיים פרשה ארוכה ארוכת שנים שגרמה לסערה בישראל. And this issue continued for many years and created a terrible storm in Israel. מהלכיו של הרב גורן, מות רב גורן did in connection with this issue, brought upon him tremendous fury from the Haredim, ולהרחבת הקרע בין הציבור החרדי והרבנות הראשית לישראל. And it tore a very wide gulf between the chief rabbinate and represented by himself, by Rav Goren, and the Haredi community. You'll see why. You'll see this case makes it clear what the issues are and how difficult it is in a secular society with such laws that are so hard, like the law of Mamzerut. Chashad Mamzerut Allah. So what happened was this, that Imam Shel Achot V'Achot, Ach V'Achot, Hayta Nesu'a L'Safek Ger. This woman, she was the mother of Miriam and Chanoch Lange. She was married to someone about whom there was no certainty if he was a ger or not. There was a story that he had become converted, and he himself said he had become converted. The question was whether he was a recognized ger, or it had been done, or he you see subsequently what happened. They couldn't establish for sure if he was a proper gay or not. So, then this mother, she separated from her first husband, who was a girl, but questionable. She separated from him, lelo get, she didn't get a get, and she got married to another husband, didn't get a get. Right.
But she got married in Israel?
She got married
How could she get married if she didn't have a get?
Right, how did she get married?
Yeah.
No, she probably didn't get married in Israel. She got married somewhere else.
Yeah.
I don't know. She got married. Aviem, I don't know, it doesn't say. You're right. Maybe, I don't remember. I don't think it says how she got married, because that's not
relevant.
Yeah. But she got married again. She got married. She got married. Obviously, it wasn't found out. She got married in Israel.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She got married. Nobody knew. She didn't tell anybody.
She didn't tell anybody.
Obviously, because right. Didn't tell. Aviem shel achot aviem. Right. Otherwise, it wouldn't have been so difficult. She got married officially in Israel with another husband, and he was the father of these two siblings. שאלת ממזרותם של האחת והאחות הייתה תלולה בשאלה אם אכן התגייר הבעל הראשון גיור תקף. So now the question was, if the husband was a proper girl, then they are ממזרת.
The first one.
If he wasn't a girl, then no ממזרת, because he was not Jewish.
Yeah.
Not Jewish, there's no ממזרת. Because you can't have a marriage, you can't have kiddushin with a man who's not Jewish.
And the children are not ממזרים.
So the children are ממזרים. So was he gay or was he not a gay? That was upon this hinged the whole question. To save these two children, they wanted to get married in Israel.
Ah.
Right. So they would not have been. Ve'en ha'eladim shalomdu la migever acher nechshavim lememzerim. Al yesod ze tiher hekev miyuchad v'chashay v'rashut Rav Goren et ha'ach v'achot bememzerutam. So what Rav Goren did after huge controversy, he convened. This is just a summary. What Rav Goren did, he declared, he decided that first husband was not Jewish, and he didn't recognize his conversion for various reasons. So he cancelled his conversion, and because that's how his bet decided it, these two brothers were able to get married in Israel according to Jewish law.
But he cancelled it after the event, though.
Well, he declared that this the first husband never became
never was
properly.
Properly.
You'll hear the details. And in this, but Rav Goren, the problem with Rav Goren was that he came only later. He became chief rabbi, and that's when he convened the Beit Din. And he took a decision against earlier decisions by the court in Petach Tikva, because in Petach Tikva it was decided that the gerut was valid and the children were mamzerim. But there was a huge political pressure on the rabbinate to change that decision so that these kids could get married. You'll see. Okay, that's what happened.
This was handled in secrecy as well. That's amazing.
Yes, it had to be secret because they were threatened to be killed. It was a terrible thing. It was a terrible case. Now listen to this case. It's so shocking. Bishnat 1923. I'm below the line where you've got the most of it in black, but the year is not because it's clickable. That's why you've got it. Year 1923,
wow.
Nisu Bolek Borkowski v'Chava Ginsberg b'Knesia sheba'era Polanit Lokol. So these two people, Bolok Borkowski and Chava Ginsberg, got married in a church.
That's good.
In the village, in a Polish village by the name of Lokol. Orea shel Chava, so Chava Chava's parents, this was the woman, Shitnagdu nechatzot nisuim, they were totally opposed to this marriage. Ifinu lechatzim al Borkovsky lideya. So like some parents today as well, not so many because you can so easily go to reform and easily get a mixed marriage done. But in earlier generations it wasn't so simple. So people were put under pressure to become Jewish. And so he also came under pressure to become Jewish. And we schemed, he agreed. Ach, Pirtegi Yoro. But the details how he became a girl, האופן שבו בוצעה המילה, and the manner in which circumcision was carried out, והשאלה האם טבל, there was even a question whether he ever went to a mikveh, כל אלו היו לא ברורים. Nothing was clear because it all happened in Poland in 1923 during the communist regime there. כעבור כמה שנים, after several years, משאלו הורי חווה לארץ, the parents of חווה came to Israel. באו אחיהם גם בני הזוג בורקובסקי. So they also came, the young couple, בורקובסקי, שבינתיים נולד להם ילד, in the meantime they had a child. He is not a bamza at all. He is just an ordinary child, born to normal parents, so married. בארץ נולד להם ילד נוסף, and in Israel they had another child. כעבור שנים, after some years, נפרדה חווה מבעלה ראשון ללא גט. She just separated from her first husband, this חווה. She didn't receive a get, and she got to know another man. הכירה גבר אחר, יהושע לנגר. שאיתו התחתנה בטקס יהודי דתי, and she got married to him. Properly under chuppah. They're not, because that's the only way you can get married in Israel. They're not doula and shnei ladim, and two children were born. Chanoch and Miriam. בתחילת שנות החמישים, ביקשה חווה מבורקובסקי, שיציר שהילדים שנולדו אינם ילדיו. In the 50s, חווה Borkowski, for her own reasons, the reasons are not given why she insisted, but she wanted Borkowski to make a declaration, a formal declaration that his children, those children are his children.
But not his children.
But not his children. She didn't want him, and she didn't like him anymore, so she didn't want them to be his children. And they were not his children anyway. Namor, she was a rabbi, she was given a warning. She bequot zot, she was warned that if she admits that these children were born to another man, then she will have found out to commit adultery and they're mamzerim. But then she was warned.
So why would she want to do it? What did she get by doing it?
She was not religious, and she wanted. She hated.
Oh, she became religious.
So she became religious.
I don't know if she became religious, but she obviously hated her first husband. So she wanted to make this declaration. I don't know. It doesn't actually tell us. We would have to look up why she wanted this declaration to be made. I don't know. It doesn't say. But she came to a court, to a rabbinical court, to make that declaration. So the rabbinical court wrote that they were mamzerim in a special book. They've got a special book. The bedin, every bedin keeps records. Of course, the bedin also has records.
Yes.
You can't fool but they didn't mean they have records about everything. So in 1956 they were recorded as mamzerim, and therefore they can't get married under Jewish law. ב-1966, in 1966, בעת שחנוך ומריאם היו בשירות צבאי, so these children grew up, normal adults, and they went to the army. And they wanted to get married. הם ביקשו להתחתן, ופנו לבית דין בפתח תקווה. So they went to the bed in פתח תקווה, where I lived for short while at פתח תקווה. לצורך ברור הנושא, הופיעו בפני בית הדין עדים, והשמותי שבהם היה בולק בורקובסקי עצמו. In order for the bedin to investigate this matter properly, the bedin required witnesses to come how they, you know, their parentage, like you have to do. And this first husband came. He lived in Israel, Borkowski. He came also. He was also witness. And he argued, "Utaan betokef shiyudi kasher." He argued quite firmly that he was a proper Jew. And that his giur, his conversion was done properly. But since there were no witnesses to this conversion, because it took place in a little village in Poland, so the Bedin had to check what kind of lifestyle he was conducting this manner, like the Beis Din does here. And they did it anonymously. That's why it came to the JFS. The Beis Din investigates these people who travel around and they say they are Gerim, but who knows? And every Beis Din can make its own decisions. Every Beis Din is autonomous. That's what people could understand. But that's the reality. No Beis Din depends on another Beis Din. That is, in Israel, this became a matter of controversy too. But you'll see, they had to find out if he was telling the truth. He's saying that he is Jewish. But no, but you can't say you're Jewish and you are Jewish. It doesn't work. But this is not Jewish law. Al-fi halakha, according to Jewish law, or ha-chayim kazek shlatzmo yachol la'amid adam b'chizkat ger, so if the man goes to shul every morning, puts on tefillin, is a religious man, that can be a proof that he really is a gev. Says this is a chazaka. This is a chazaka. Chazaka means it's established by his lifestyle. This is a gev, and it would be difficult to discount what he says. And Borkowski really did say that. He said that he puts on tefillin every day. Borkowski tan shu meniach tefillin leyom v'shomer Shabbat, and that he keeps Shabbat. But then came the trouble, because Beit Din arach lo b'china k'tzara b'yadut. So they started testing him. And look what he didn't know. Borkowski ידע לומר שמניחים תפילין בבוקר. He knew that you put on tefillin every morning and not on Shabbat. לעומת זאת, but on the other hand, לא ידע כיצד בדיוק מניחים תפילין. Didn't know how to put on tefillin. לא ידע פתיחת פיוט לחדודי. He didn't know how to sing לחדודי, which every person who goes to shul Friday night knows. But the main thing is that he couldn't complete the verse Shema Yisrael. He made a mistake. He couldn't even complete that sentence, which usually we expect people to be able to say. So a few words. Then, to add to the trouble, Makarim shel Borkowski idu shechlo imo chazir. Some witnesses came, knew Borkowski, and testified that he had eaten pork. And what's more, they saw him going to a church. That's not so easy.
That's not so good.
In Tel Aviv, there are no churches at all. Ulam minegen, ayugam shiilu. It's the only city in the world that's got no churches.
Tel Aviv. Really?
No churches in Tel Aviv. That's what I've heard. Ulam minegen, it's a holy city.
Jaffa.
But on the other hand, there are people who said that he was recognized as a Jew in the community. People knew. And at the end, it was lose-lose.
Yeah, no win.
No win. Because the Beis Din said he was Jewish. So never the brother and sister couldn't get married.
Yeah, but they just
that's what the Beis Din decided. He was Jewish. Because there was no incontrovertible evidence that the giur had to take place. And he was in Israel, and people testified that he was living as a Jew, as well as some people were testifying there wasn't keeping anything. But there are plenty of Jews who don't keep anything. They're still Jewish.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, the fact that you eat pork doesn't cancel your conversion.
No.
Conversion. Unless you were dishonest at the time when you stood before the bedroom.
Yeah.
The rule is very, very difficult. If you are dishonest,
everything
collapses.
Sure.
But if you're honest, and a year later you decide that you like to eat pork and you don't like keeping Shabbat, you're Jewish. Of course, every Beit Din, every Dayan will be very upset. But you see, if a person does it straight away after converting, then you are highly suspicious. This is what happened in London.
That's
what happened in JFS case.
Yes.
The London Beit Din just couldn't believe that he had been honest in Israel.
Yeah.
So that spoiled it, and you see, that's why they led him to court and so on. Anyway, that's what happened. The Beit Din Petach Tikva decided that they couldn't annul his conversion, which is quite natural, except that the consequences of that decision was tragic for two young people.
Yeah.
To no fault of their own. And the secular community is just not willing to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a problem. So they they didn't like this decision.
So, but how does it make the children manzir?
Because if he was Jewish,
yes,
he was properly married to his first wife,
right,
or to his wife.
She's an adulteress.
And she's an adulteress, according to Jewish law. She's an adulteress.
The children were born while...
And to the second husband.
Second husband.
Yeah, these two children were born to the second husband, yes.
Right.
She herself made the declaration in court.
She
forced the first husband to declare that he was their father. If she had not told, maybe it would never found out.
She
did something terribly wrong against her children.
She must have had
children. Why she did that to hurt them?
She must have had she must have had the children very shortly after separation from the first one.
Was there confusion about
that? Yes, then there would have been confusion.
If she
of course. Why should he make a declaration in a court? I think she acted very irresponsibly towards her children.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I had been I would certainly not have made this declaration.
Kikstum.
Well, of course. Kikstum, nobody would have known.
So in the second marriage then, the husband was alive at all this time?
Yeah, he was, but the father of the children is alive. Mamzerut is not something that it's just poison for the children. It's a kind, there's no rationale for it that we can understand.
So you wanted the children to go to the second husband's name, is that what is so said?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, essentially.
Essentially, yes, oh yes. She wanted the truth. But the truth was very damaging to the children.
Okay.
That's the problem. They were not prepared to accept this decision by the court in Petach Tikva, by the rabbinical court in Petach Tikva. So they went to the Beit Hadin Rabbani Gadol, Yerushalayim, the supreme rabbinical court in Jerusalem. Berkev Yeshvu Shlosha Dayanim, and it comprised of three judges. Shnayim Mehem Mibchirei Poskei Halacha BeYisrael, and two of them, the greatest in Israel, greatest poskim, and they didn't agree.
They couldn't agree amongst themselves, you mean?
No, they didn't agree.
Oh, that's good.
Because it's a question of hashkafa here, what to do to save these two kids, or declare that they're not Jewish. What's better? It is a question of hashkafa, not only of what the law is, because
opinion.
At the end, it's an opinion. Opinion.
Yeah.
So there was this Rabbi Shaul Israeli. Ish Azera Madati Lumi. Shaul Israeli was a very famous rabbi, very influential rabbi, but he belonged to the Zionist camp. I think that's the best way to describe it. There are rabbis who are Zionists in Israel today, and there is the Haredi stream, which is basically, philosophically and theologically, anti-Zionist. So, by anti-Zionists, I mean they are separatists. They separate themselves. They don't want to be part of the state in a number of very important respects. But they live there, but they regard themselves still in exile. That's basically what it is. Israel is just another exile. Because Israel is not from.
Yeah.
But that's the reason. But there are those who say Israel is a great miracle, and it's the Jewish state, and it is a religious entity because it's Israel. And that is the religious Zionist position. So Rav Shaul Israeli said that יש מקום לפסול את יהדותו של בורונובסקי ולהקל בדינם של האחים. So he said, look, it's a possibility to invalidate the conversion of this first husband and then make the life of the two children easier. גם בעקבות חוסר יכולתו, for various reasons. First of all, he couldn't finish the Shema. I mean, what kind of Jew can't say the Shema? Even if you've been a Jew only for 5 years, you can still say the Shema. לעומתו, but here comes Rav Shalom, Yosef Shalom Eliashiv, and he just didn't agree, and he was Haredi. Savar, he said that Savar שיש להתייחס בצורה מקלה יותר אל דיני הגיור. He thought that if you have to be lenient, you have to be lenient with respect to the laws of conversion, and not with respect of the laws of Mamzerut. And therefore, Velikvoa, and therefore the court had to decide according to his view, She'af imager over adivrei Chazal, that even if this ger is not abiding by the rules and the rabbinical law, אין בכך סתירה לכך שהוא רואה את עצמו כיהודי, doesn't invalidate or contradict the fact that he is Jewish, because he became Jewish and people accepted him as a Jew, מאחר שבקהילה יהודית שהוא חי בה מקובל ככה, people knew him as a Jew. And he said בזמננו, so רבי שיבלד, בזמננו יש לדון שהתנהגות בדרכי יהדות שעל ידה נקבעת גירות לובשת צורה אחרת. So conversion is a bit more complicated today because we have a complicated society, conversion is a conversion. You can't just invalidate it because of a secondary issue that comes up afterwards. It's quite logical when you think of it, because the law of Mamzerut is the law of the Torah.
Yeah.
And the law of conversion, it's subject to opinions, whether he was a gay or not. Nobody knew the truth. And he was living in Israel, and he was saying he was Jewish. The man himself was saying he was Jewish, and there were witnesses that he was taking part in the Jewish community. There were witnesses who were saying he was eating pork. But you don't become un-Jewish because you eat pork. So it wasn't exactly, they were not contradicting each other, because a Jew can also eat pork. So it was not a direct contradiction. That was Rabbi Yashiv's view. And the problem was that it made it very difficult for the two children. But Rabbi Yashiv, he was Haredi, so he doesn't, he cared about the children, but he didn't see that he could compromise. He couldn't see a way forward here for the children. Doesn't mean that he was against the children.
No, it's not a personal thing.
But the way it turned out was that the children suffered from that decision. Shelano Sefet הייתה אם האופן שבו סיפר בורקובסקי על התגרותו נחשב לקביל מבחינת ההלכה. There was another question, whether the way בורקובסקי, he described the way he'd become Jewish, was that acceptable in Jewish law? Because Jewish law demands פירוט מסוים לגבי בית הדין שבו נערך הגיור, because you do have to explain what kind of a court you were in became a convert. And Borokovsky couldn't even tell them what kind of a Beidin he had been converted in. So Rav Eliashiv was also asked to decide on that, and he was lenient as far as the laws of Gio were concerned. בשביל אז הוא היה רב. יוסף, שלום, לא, he didn't have to, but he, that's how he chose to do it. He was a very, very strict person. And he wasn't... Well, it's good or bad, this is a matter of judgment.
The facts in front of him, the man couldn't say Shema, the man couldn't remember where he got converted.
So yeah. It wasn't strict, was it?
There wasn't strict.
Now, Yashiv didn't look at these questions. He just wanted to know whether you are, where you are not sure about the conversion, do you take the lenient view or the lenient? The man was saying he was Jewish.
He can say it, but when he's asked the performance of how he came Jewish, he can't prove it in any way, shape or form.
Well, he couldn't say it, but Rav Eliashiv thought that you should be lenient on the question of conversion and not on any other.
Just
yeah, you should be lenient.
The conversion process wasn't very strict. It's not his fault. That's what he's trying to say, that they took him to the fold, but they didn't require him to do such and such a thing.
The problem was that he had a chazaka. The problem was, basically, that man had a chazaka that he was Jewish. Chazaka is a very important thing. I mean, we all have a chazaka that we're Jewish. Nobody is going to question us. Now, we don't need putting proofs. We have an established status to be Jewish. And so this man also had this chazaka. That was a problem. So the problem was Rav Eliashiv decided that Jewish, according to Jewish law, the man's conversion cannot be annulled. That was the question. Because you have to be lenient with him. And you have to be strict when the question of Mamzerut is...
Unfortunately, one
was dependent on the other. That was the unfortunate. That was the tragedy.
That's the result, but the cause.
The question was the way out. Let's put it this way.
Yeah, the way out
for the two kids was to declare his conversion invalid. That was
the way out.
Absolutely.
Yashiv didn't want to agree to that. That's it. He didn't want to agree that this is the way out.
Surprising about Eliashiv himself. Sorry, just one more. Eliashiv, because last time we said, and today as well, we said that he was very strict.
He was. He was very strict on the laws of Mamzerut.
Yeah, but not yet on the conversion. He's not taking anything into
I think it's perfectly reasonable what he said.
I think his position was very reasonable.
The problem was that it created a secondary...
It's
an order of priority. The conversion it had more priority to the marriage.
The problem was
last week on Thursday we sat and talked about this guy Eliashiv. He was strict on the
that's not the test of being Jewish. The test is whether the conversion was valid or not, and nobody knew.
Yeah.
So nobody knew, you're naked. Because this chazaka, that is the logic. This chazaka, and you're not sure. When you're not sure, you look at what the reality in front of you. What's the reality? That man says he's Jewish and lives in Israel and he's a member of Jewish law. The fact that he eats pork does not invalidate his Judaism. That was his logic.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
That was his logic. His logic was actually quite strong. It's not so easy to defeat that logic. Even if you love those children.
The whole thing only
came up because those children.
Yeah, I understand.
Otherwise, nobody would have debated it at all, and he would have lived as a Jew, and nobody would have cared, and nobody would have ever questioned it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what Rav Eliashiv said.
Yeah.
You've got to set aside these two kids, and it's a separate question.
I understand that. I understand it completely. I'm just trying to see how he's thinking that it's valid. Yeah. You've explained
because of the Chazaka.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I think that's the key word.
Yes.
Chazaka, and on the other end, there was doubt. Okay.
Yes,
we go on. So we come to the next page.
Next page.
It's a very convenient decision.
Yeah.
But convenient for that man, Borokovsky.
Why should you not take into account the whole picture of the children?
Because you can't, because you don't take, you don't decide one question on the basis of another difficulty that arises because of what you decided. They're two separate questions. That is the reality. You don't decide. You can't decide that Borokovsky is not Jewish in order to make it easier for the kids to get married. You love a yashiv. That's what the argument.
He's still mad at him.
But that's essentially what Goren has done, isn't it?
Of course. But that's why they're angry with him. They were angry with him for the rest of his life. But you see what he argued. Well, Goren also wrote a whole book about this. But they all wrote books. There's an enormous amount of literature. Enormous amount of literature. All on the internet. You can find it on jewishbooks.org. I haven't been through. My father had a whole book. Beit HaDin b'Fetach Tikva. But listen, it's not the end of it. There were a number of other issues. Beit HaDin b'Fetach Tikva shama edim nosafim. The court in Petach Tikva had heard other witnesses. Ben Ashar et edutot shel Gabai. So then they had this Gabai, this warden, this honorary officer of the shul. Kit kufa rukah. Aya Borokovsky mevaker b'Beit HaKnesset b'Shabbatot. That Borokovsky used to come to shul many for a long period on Shabbat. Mitzad sheni, but on the other hand, shnei eduyot acherot lefihem nispar med b'tzlach asar mas. Other people saw him in shul and he couldn't say anything.
At least he went.
He didn't know how to stop him. Lebasof hechia Beit Din Shenit. So at the end, the Beit Din decided. Again, it's the second decision, don't forget, by the court in Yerushalayim now. Sheborokovsky Yehudi Ukriyat Atakifut Mamzkefa. In other words, they upheld the decision of the court in Petach Tikva. They upheld the decision taken by the Dayanim in Petach Tikva. Atiku Shav Nediyun Osad Berkat Ayur Beveit Din Arabani Agadol Arabani Melyashi Vyisraeli Yitzterev Arab Ubadia Yosef Benigud Nifsak דין הביניים התקבלה פעם פה אחד החלטה קצרה ולא מנומקת לא לשנות את פסק הדין של בית הדין בפתח תקווה. What happened? I'll tell you what happened. Initially there was disagreement, so Rav Eliashiv was against Rav Israeli, but the trouble is there was only one of three who wanted to accept that he was not Jewish, Rav Israeli, but Rav Ovadia Yosef, who is still alive obviously, and he is one of the greatest poskim, so he was also part of that court, and he said that the conversion was valid. So they went back to the Beit Din in Petach Tikva to get some more witnesses. So they got this Gabbai to come, who testified that this Yoram Borokovsky used to come to shul. So that spoiled it further for the two children. Anyway, the decision was that the conversion was valid, and that the Beit Din in Petach Tikva had given the right decision. Right. But what happened next? So they were in the army, these two children. They were Israelis. So this brother and sister, Shabakasha Tam Sova, so they now found themselves unable to get married in Israel. Panubi Mechtav Nesar Rabitachon Moshe Dayan. So they approached Moshe Dayan. And he was the defense minister at the time. We will remember him, of course. He was the defense minister during the 1967 war. Bevakasha Sheyaseh Aleihem Dayani, and Dayan was not a religious man. And he threatened, Sheim Abaya Lo Tipater, if the rabbinate is not going to solve their problem, he would It's a law that people can get married civilly in Israel.
He can raise a question.
Nobody has succeeded yet.
Can't they just convert the children?
Yes. You can't undo Mamzeret.
It's not a question of converting.
No, they're Jewish.
They're Jewish. They're just Mamzers.
Well, the mother's Jewish, of course.
So they're Jewish.
Yeah.
Mamzeret cannot be undone. That's the problem. It's a terrible thing.
It's awful.
It's a curse. But that's what happened. So everybody was on their side, emotionally. But what do you do about the law? ראש הממשלה גולדה מאיר, she was the prime minister גולדה מאיר, קיבלה אותם לשיחה, and she was also not a religious woman. She had a chat with them, ומצוקתם נגעה לליבה, and she was upset for them. בעקבות הפרשה, so, as a consequence of this case, הלתה סיעת הליברלים העצמאים. So in those days it was liberal. They later on they became the Likud. These independent liberals became part of the Likud. Yes, they did. I think they amalgamated the Likud. They don't exist. These are independent liberal party.
Never knew this happened.
Yeah, there were many parties. They keep changing. They invented new parties. I mean, Barak has invented another party.
Invented.
Atzmaut. Yes.
Yes.
Independent.
You'll see the list of parties soon when the elections come. I'd say every time there's elections, a new party.
It's not like England.
Anyway, the liberal, the independent liberals, they're not religious, and they suggested something that makes sense actually to any person with a bit of heart, that people who can't get married under Jewish law should be able to get married under some other system, mm-hmm. obviously.
Yeah,
but civil law. But in Israel, nothing is that simple, and the religious are not going to allow it. They're not going to allow civil marriages to be accepted. Right. It's going to cause a civil war. And it has not been achieved even yet. No. The Chilonim have not been able to achieve it. But the Balgaramash, so there was a crisis in the coalition. במקביל ללחץ הציבורי, so there was tremendous political pressure on the rabbinate to allow these two children to get married. But there was also Borokovsky and his children, grown up. And they didn't want to hear that their father was not Jewish. So they started the campaign too.
He was Jewish. Uh-huh. But the vet didn't have said he is Jewish, so fine.
Yes, yeah. But since they knew that only a
lot of publications that he's not Jewish.
Yeah.
Not publications that he was not Jewish.
Yes, negative yes to him. They were annoyed about the whole thing.
Yeah.
Le Macbill. Parallel to that, there was this Rav Goren. He was the chief rabbi of the army.
Sure.
So he was their chief rabbi, because they were soldiers. They started the Rav Goren, Bodo Rav Tzvi Rashi, Asher Badak et Atik. So he examined this case, and he expressed opinion that you could allow these two children to marry. So he accepted that. They were not Mamzerim.
So he's the chief rabbi of Israel?
Of the army.
Okay.
Dayan, but look at what happened then. Dayan Pana, it's like a thriller.
Like a thriller.
It is a thriller. Dayan Pana la Rav Rashi Sfaradi Deaz. So Dayan came to, Dayan was the defense minister. He went to the chief rabbi, the Sfaradi chief rabbi, was Rav Nissim, to help. אז הרב ניסים ניסה למצוא בדין שידון פרשה מחדש, שכן רב ניסים was a chief rabbi, so he was entitled to create a new בדין who would deal with the question again. הרכב דיינים בבית דין ירושלים ברשות הרב Abraham Elkana Kana Shapiro became chief rabbi of Israel later on. By the time he was this Rosh Yeshiva, he was the Rosh Yeshiva of Merkaz Harad. Very famous rabbi. He was famous more recently for his very right-wing views. Very right-wing. He's not alive anymore. He was a great chief rabbi. He was a very great scholar. He was chief rabbi of Israel. So he was a great man. So Rav Nissi was the chief of the Sfaradi. He was a Rishon Lezion, that's the title. Long time ago now, it's 40 years ago. Nobody's alive, these people. Yachlit she'ein lo samchut ladun shenoseh b'mokom b'din b'petach tikva. So Abraham Elkana Shapira, he decided that no one can actually open the case again because the decision had been taken in the court in Petach Tikva, so you can't deal with it anymore. The decision had been taken.
But surely the main Beth Din in Jerusalem, that has the final say where they've been to.
No, but it's been no, but he refused to come on to another case to open it again. He said that it's not allowed. He says this is also an issue in Jewish law. You can't convene another court if you don't like the decision of the first court. But in September 1971, הודיעו שבעת דייני בית דין הרבני הגדול שהם מוכנים לשוב ולדון בתיק. But there was so much pressure on these דיינים in Yerushalayim. That 1971, seven of these Dayanim in the Supreme Rabbinical Court said that they are willing to look at the case again. Ulam ha'ach ve'achot itma'me'u b'achlata im lifnot el Beit Hadin HaGadol. But in the meantime, these two siblings, they became more and more obviously despondent. They were not confident that the decision would be in their favor, and they were scared to go to another court. So they didn't do it, they didn't go. But then came the election of the chief rabbis, and that's a political appointment, but done by politicians amongst them, people who are not even religious.
Choose the chief rabbi?
Yeah. About 70 people choose a chief rabbi from all political parties, yes.
So the Knesset chooses it?
Not the Knesset, but people representing all kinds of parties, religious and not religious.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's how it's done. So
it's a political appointment.
It's a political appointment.
It's not a religious
appointment. That's why, well, it's a political appointment.
For a religious leader.
For a religious, yeah, but look, in a community in United States, it's also a decision made by lay people. Some of them not religious make decisions. Who should be the rabbi? It's the same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the chief rabbi. Yeah. And what, and the chief rabbi of United Kingdom will be elected, he will be appointed by all kinds of people, not necessarily religious people. So, but this is what so there's a biography of Obadiah Yosef, about whom several books have already been written. He's still alive. He's the greatest rabbi today in the world. And he writes, Shlomo Tzena, Kulam pachadu mimachtaf she'yaiv al b'chirat harabanit harashit ad kedei kach. Everybody was scared that the whole case would be, I don't know, machtaf means that somebody would actually seize the whole documents about this case. Snatching. Somebody would snatch it. So that's what he writes in his book about Rabbi Yosef, who was already an important rabbi then. Because I think he was the rabbi of, he was not yet the chief rabbi. I think he was the next chief rabbi after Rabbi Yitzchak Nissim. Yes, he was a contemporary of Rabbi Goren. He was elected chief rabbi at the same time. Ad Kedei Kach, he's still alive. He was chief rabbi 40 years ago. He's the man of 90 now. Ad Kedei Kach, to such a degree, שתקמש לאח באחות לנגה, הוא עבר על ידי הרב הראשי הספרדי יצחק ניסים מכספת של סניף בנק לאומי בירושלים. He took it to a special safe in the bank, in the national bank in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, Achi Yukalim in Imsoted, until they would know whom to give it to. Shneagufim HaMarkazim Darshu Et HaTik. So two main bodies demanded the case. The Beit HaDin HaRabbani B'Petach Tikva. First of all, the court in Petach Tikva that made decision. Shamat B'Kesh Yashir HaRabbanim HaChadedim. And they had direct links with the Haredi rabbis, and the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, the Sfardi chief rabbi, was Rav Ovadia Yosef, and Benishkato Shel Rav Rashi Ashkenazi in Tel Aviv, the Ashkenazi, the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv, was Rav Shlomo Goren, who left the army by then, and he became chief rabbi, and all chief rabbis of Tel Aviv in those days became later chief rabbis of Israel. That's how it's called.
Yes.
Not more recently, but in those days, yes. So at the end, Rav Goren was elected because he promised to look at the case again. So he was chosen chief rabbi, and he replaced Rav Isra Yehuda Unterman, who was chief rabbi of Israel before him. He was actually a British chief rabbi.
That's right. Yeah.
He came from Liverpool. He would not have permitted this business. He held that they were mamzerim. And obviously the Rishon Lezion, who became rabbi, was Ovadia Yosef. He became the chief rabbi, the Sfardi chief rabbi. Right. So Rav Goren becomes the chief rabbi, and look what he does. As soon as he becomes chief rabbi, it's the last three lines of the page. Rav Goren yifil et samchuto kerav rashi. Now he became the highest rabbi in the land. The highest Tanis rabbi. V'kines beit din rabbanim yuchad, and he convened a special beit din in order to decide the case. He invited nine rabbis. Only one of them was known who it was. Only Rav Goren was prepared to identify himself. All the others, Ashar Shemuel Anonim Yud, the others didn't want to remain anonymous. Kedei limno mehem lishvachotev yumim, shkiot vashmatzot mitzat kvotzot amalchim, eimim vezorim terror. So, I mean, you see, the Haredim, they can be very cruel as well. And they threatened any rabbi who takes part in this. כלשונו של הרב גורן בדין מיוחד זה שרב גורן הוא קם מדיינים עבוד בתי דין ודיין זה all kinds of very important rabbis to part in this we do not know who it is, who they are, and we are now on the third page. Is that he actually decided that the man was not Jewish. And the brother and sister, he decided against all the previous decisions that the brothers were not Jewish, and the father was not Jewish, therefore
the children
were. Oh, what happened to. Why haven't they got enough copies now? Yeah.
So the thing with the mother being Jewish?
Anyway, this new Beit Din that Rav Goren convened decided that the father wasn't Jewish. Miyad im pirsum ha'acha, and as soon as he decided this case, Rav Goren invited the chief rabbi of the army, Rav Mordechai Peron, invited the two children. They got married very nicely. באותו ערב התקיימה גם חתונתה של מרים לנגה עם בחיר ליבד, and two of these children got married the same day. החתונות נערכו, כשדיין came to the wedding, and שני הזוגות החדשים, the two children, they got a special card for the mayor. מפלגות השמאל הביאו סיפוק, and all the left-wing parties will be very big. was enlightened in society. But of Govan, he had to have special police protection.
Really?
Amavdal Iskimo, and the Mavdal, which was the party of Rav Goren, Mavdal is Mifleget Datim Leumim, this is a Zionist camp, they were his the Shomer Rosh, they were the, his security bodyguards. Mekom Kvuratos Shel Aviv, and they Shelo Yom Ha'azkara Shelo Chal V'Semuch Nishmar V'Sod Mechamash Mechadash Yehulal. And even the grave of his father, Rav Goren's father, was there to be guarded because. But Rav Goren, well, of course, he's himself a genius. He wrote the whole. So the next paragraph describes how Rav Goren came to his decision. But the Haredim never forgave him until he died. And it created
a division.
We learn next week how Rav Goren decided this, but against the view of Rav Eliashiv. So you can see how they parted ways and throughout his life. But later on, when the chief rabbis were, so since Rav Goren, the chief rabbinate swung in favor of the Haredim. All the chief rabbis since Rav Goren have been from the Haredi camp, because they have been able to change the, because the Haredim are growing in numbers.
Yes, they have
been able to change, I think, over the years, the formation of that committee. And now, if you're not on their side, you won't become chief rabbi. So Rav Lau,
yeah,
Haredi, he became chief rabbi after Goren. And since then, Rav Metzger also was appointed. And the most favored candidate of the national religious section, who is a very fantastic man, Rav Yaakov Ariel, as I told you last week. By the way, the chief rabbi's name now, that's why, is Shlomo Amar. I forgot his name last week. Shlomo Amar is you can see, he's got lots of shiurim on YouTube. He's very, he's a great scholar, and actually they want him to stay, although his term is coming to an end. Rav Metzger was elected against Rav Yaakov Ariel only because of the political.
I didn't think he was from Haredi.
Because of Rav Eliashiv. Rav Eliashiv decided Rav Metzger would toe the line better and belong to his camp. Yeah, that's what happened.
What about the Polish man? He's outcast.
No,
but he was not recognized as a Jew. I don't know what happened to him. It's not, yeah. Nobody was interested in him. They were interested in the children.
What is the length of the church? What is the length of the chief rabbi of Israel's
church? 10 years. Here, Amar, I read, he wants to change the law now. And it's called Chok Shlomo Amar. A new law of gold.
So they can stay longer.
They can stay longer. He may well do, because he's very popular. I think he's very popular.
There's
a long tradition for rabbis to remain rabbis all their lives.
To remain rabbi, but to remain chief
rabbi.
To remain rabbi. Any rabbi, that's a tradition. I know, modern times things have changed.
It's not upright, you know.
It is to be chased rabbi.
It's not
forever. Let's
go
forever. No, it's a long tradition in Jewish law that rabbis remain, and in the Haredi camp, all rabbis remain rabbis.
Yeah, remain rabbis, yes, but not chief rabbi.
Well, whatever office they have. What difference? Rav Kook remained until he died. Rav Hertz was in England also.
Yeah,
Rav Hertz remained until he died.
Yeah.
Only later the United States changed the rules because of the modern world in which we live.
Yeah.
That is part of the process of modernization of the rabbinate. Life. Yeah. Life is different now. Where they try to own it, they
know.
It's not democratic being rabbi. You can remain rabbi longer than 10 years. What is the reason for what's the more amount to, if he's the greatest rabbi, he's only 16. How old is he? Not old. You can look at his pictures. You'll see he's a very young man. I think there's no rational reason. It's just to give a chance to others. To refresh the... I'm sorry, I hadn't quite finished. I'll finish this and I'll continue with the other question next week in Sashem, please God.